I wanted to share a bit about his peace. And just for context, in case you're wondering, I'm not talking about Peter's peace. I'm not talking about Pastor Graham's peace. I'm talking about God's peace. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking with a few people around God's peace. And I just felt, after last week's message, oh my goodness, what an awesome message Pastor Paul shared with us around, you know, how relevant the New Testament is to us in today's day, in our current climate. And I'm not talking about climate change, I'm talking about spiritual climate and where we are in the world right now. And it just really got me thinking more about God's peace in this time that we live in. It's a time in our lives and in the history of the New Testament church where we will be challenged on our belief and faith. And we will be challenged about our faith in Jesus. And so this is where I'm coming from today. Normally I would have paper notes, but my printer doesn't like printing stuff. So we're a bit fussy today. But that's okay. I have a battery on my laptop and it's going to work in Jesus' name. So our world right now, our current climate is pretty crazy. It's pretty chaotic. And I don't know about you, but the world is getting a little bit more violent. It's getting a little bit more selfish, a little bit more entitled, a little bit more me, my, I, a little bit more get my own gains, and who cares about the rest of the world. And so I felt like we really needed to talk more about God's peace and what that feels like for us. And for some of you, his peace is really what we need to navigate these times, outside of God's word and, you know, his Holy Spirit guiding us. So his peace. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We are living in crazy times. We really need to know what God's peace is and how we can have that in our lives. So I'm going to just kind of do a bit of the world's peace, our peace versus his peace. So the world's peace versus his peace. They're different. They're not the same. So let's compare them. The world's peace is temporary versus God's peace, or his peace, which is eternal. The world's peace rises and falls to the occasion. It's circumstantial to a situation or feelings. There's only peace when things are going well, when one is secure, or when things are in alignment with how we plan them to be. We have that worldly peace when we're in that moment or when something like that is happening. When the nation prospers, it's at peace. When there is no war, it is at peace. But when the world crumbles, or there's an economy crash, or there's rioting, or there's war on the horizon, there is no peace. The world's peace is temporary. It doesn't stay fixed. It's also circumstantial in that sense, where, oh, well, we'll negotiate peace here, but if you don't give us this, then there won't be any peace. Micah 3 verse 5 says, "This is what the Lord says, you false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on those who refuse to feed you." So it's negotiable and temporary in our world. Peace, according to the world, is temporary. However, the peace that God gives us, his peace is eternal. It's everlasting. It's not circumstantial. It's not about our feelings, but about his will and purpose. John 14, verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace is eternal. This peace is the peace that we receive when we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is given to us for the rest of our lives. It is a gift. It is free. It is not something we have to go around earning. It's not something we have to trade for. It is given. It is yours. You have it right now. For those of you who know Jesus, you have God's peace. Jesus spoke these words before his time when he was going to be crucified. He told this to the disciples before that time so that they would know that when he was no longer with them, they would still have the peace of God that they had while he was there. God's peace is steady. It's consistent. It doesn't go away. It's undisturbed in times of hardships. And the man who relies on God for peace will rise above struggles and uncertainties. It is because the heart and mind know not to trust in the circumstances, but in the very nature of God himself. Yes. This is the eternal peace that you and I have access to. This is the eternal peace that we have in God. Right. He works things out for my good. God's peace is sustainable. It satisfies in times of want. The man who relies on God's peace will always feel sufficient. It is because it trusts the God who will come to our aid in our greatest time of need. We were doing a young adult session the other day, and we've been going through the series. We've only actually just sort of got to session two, which is funny in its own self, because we were starting before the lockdown, and then we got all muddled up with the lockdown, and so we've got to session two. We've just finished session two, but one of the questions talked about, you know, how does your faith grow? And I really reflected on this and thought about it, and often I think, well, often before I reflected, I thought, oh, it's in my times of trials and my times of hardships, that's when my faith grows. But actually, I discovered that wasn't true. My faith did not grow then. My exercising of my faith grew then. It was when my faith was proved, was during my times of trials and during my circumstances and during my situations. My faith grew before that because it was in me. It was the knowledge of God's word in my life. It was the things that God had put in my spirit. It was the things that I believed and obeyed. And when that time of trial or when that time of hardship came, I was able to outwork that which was already in me. And so it wasn't actually during that time of hardship that my faith grew, because it was already there. It was in that time of hardship that my faith was proved. And so that's what I see with peace and God's peace in our life as well. It's actually that time when we have all these things going around us, it's that time to prove God's peace in our life. It's always there. We may not always sense it. We may not always feel it. But there are times like today and today's world where we will need to prove, in a sense, not that it's real or not real, but that it's like a substance in our life. And it was in those times of need that I was able to lean on that which was already operating and working in my life. But it showed out more during the trial. It showed out more during the suffering. It shows out more in the crisis or the trauma or whatever's going on. So the man who relies on God for peace will always feel sufficient. It's because we trust the God who will come to our aid in our greatest time of need. The world's peace is by trusting self versus His peace is by trusting in God. The world's peace is by trusting our own abilities, our own strengths, ourselves, putting our own trust in ourselves. The world encourages us to search within ourselves for our peace. You know, this is this whole New Agey kind of thing about inner peace. You know, seeking inner peace. Well, actually, it's probably more external before we know Jesus, and then it becomes internal because we know Jesus. And that's when we receive inner peace, is because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have God's presence with us. And that's where our source is. It's by trusting in God. Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. When we trust in ourselves, it's limited to our own knowledge and our own understanding. It's limited to our own confidence and even in our own pride. A proud heart stirs up strife. And one who trusts in their own self is a fool. So let's walk wisely and be delivered. Amen. Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 7. My son, do not forget my law, but keep your heart. But let your heart keep my commands for the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Next verse. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we entrust all of our difficulties to him, God's peace will come steady into our hearts. It may seem strange to others or even hard to understand, but regardless of what goes on around us, God's peace keeps us and our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our enabler and our strengthener. God calls us to approach his throne. Hebrews 4:16 says, God tells us to approach his throne, the throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we are to trust God for our peace. It's not something that we can make up in our own mind. Years ago, I remember that I was given the opportunity to do some study and do a little bit of, what do you call it? Kind of evangelism type stuff within a school. And it was Christian education, I think it was. And I remember at the time, it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing to learn. There wasn't a problem with that. It was a godly thing to do, evangelism in the schools. It was school chaplaincy pretty much. And at the time, I thought, this is a good thing. Would it not be? But it didn't necessarily mean it was the right thing. So I did a lot of hard yards for like 2 or 3 years in the school, and I did a lot of working relationships, networking with people within the school. I did all sorts of stuff, but I never had a peace. I didn't have God's peace in my spirit about doing that work. And what it actually did was it took me away from where God had positioned me. So it was still good. It was still good work. People were still being ministered to in the work that was happening. But it wasn't necessarily God's particular pathway that he wanted me to walk in. See, I was doing it in my own knowledge. And even though it was godly knowledge of what I could understand of, you know, God's word and God being able to minister through me into the school and the school place wasn't necessarily his knowledge that he wanted me to walk on, if that makes any sense. See, we can be in God's presence, we can be in his word, we can be walking uprightly, but sometimes we're not always walking in his peace. And that was one of the things for me. This is one of the things that I've learned over my years of ministry, over my years of maturing as a Christian, is to know what God's peace is like in my life. See, that wasn't a bad thing. It's not like I was stealing someone's car, going on a drug run, robbing a house. It wasn't a bad thing, but it was still not in my, it was still not in God's understanding of what he wanted for my life at that time. I learned a lot, and I still use some of that now, and it's really good stuff that I've learned over that time, but it wasn't quite the pathway that God had for me. It actually sidetracked me from where God wanted me to go. The world's peace is absent in conflict, suffering, and trials, but his peace is in the midst of conflict, suffering, and trials. There was a time quite a while ago now when I was actually studying for as a probationary minister. So I was going through the AGNZ pathway to become a pastor within the Assemblies of God movement. And during that time, Hayley was at school one day and she was doing some kind of activity or something, and they were on the playground and somehow, I don't know how, only you, eh? I don't know. But somehow she was on a playground, they were doing some activity, and the boy landed on her leg and broke it. I mean, we laugh now because it sounds so strange. It's like, what? Someone jumped on you and your leg broke? I mean, he was three times the size of her. She was petite. She still is. But her leg broke. And you know what was crazy about this situation? Was I had complete peace. I walked into the school, the school rang me, and I could tell that they were freaking out. I could just hear it in their voices. It was like, oh, this is a serious moment. Because, I don't know, if you know me, I like to joke around a bit, and not everything is serious. But so I walked into the school, and I went to go pick up Hayley, and I got to the office, and their faces were like, I don't know if you can get whiter than white, but their faces were like that. They were almost transparent. You could almost see through them. They were that, like, just the horror on their face was like, this is not good. And I was like, okay, that's all right. You know, it is what it is. No lack of faith here. I'm not worried. I just walked in, and they were kind of like, oh, what's... I think they were looking sideways at each other, like, what is wrong with her? Like, she should be freaking out. She's a mum. But I walked in there, and I saw, and I could clearly see that Hayley's leg was broken. So I can't remember what bone it is, but it's between the knee and the foot. Yeah, somewhere, one of those shin bones. So she had to have a full cast right up to the top of her thigh, which was hard enough for a small, petite little person. Anyways, I walk in there, I could see it was seriously broken. It wasn't coming through the skin, but it was pretty much close. and Hayley was distraught because she had all these people around her who were freaking out. And the moment I walked in there and I was like, it's all right, darling, we can sort this out. You know, we'll get you to the hospital. The doctors will be fine. Let's pray. And instantly God's peace came upon Hayley because I was able to minister to her in the peace that was eternal, that was inside my life, that was operating within me because I know Jesus. And she relaxed. As soon as I walked in there, calm as day, like peaceful, relaxed, she was like, oh, okay, I can let go now. And her whole demeanor changed. And so we got her into the car. I don't know why we didn't call an ambulance. That probably should have been the best way to do it, but we didn't. I was like, those ladies in that office, they're freaking out too much. Let's just get this over and done with. So we took her down to the hospital. And even in the midst of that trial, it was a pretty crazy time. So I'm studying, I'm trying to get my pastoral credentials. That week, I was going for an interview with senior ministers who were either going to say, yes, we believe that you're suitable for the pathway to becoming a pastor, or no, we don't think that you're on the right pathway. So it was a pretty serious time in my life. And we had this leg break, but it was like, for me, it was like water off a duck's back. There was no frustration, there was no craziness in my head, like everything around me was crazy, but what was operating in our lives was God's peace. So I was able to go to that meeting, and it went really well. And you know, God, well, obviously now I'm a pastor, so it obviously went well, very well. But see, the world would say that there's no peace in those kind of situations, because it's a conflict, because it's a suffering, because there's a trial, because there's a trauma. Well, you can't have peace in that moment. Well, maybe I don't have a physical peace of mind, but I definitely, in my spirit, I know that God's peace was evident in that time. God's peace is ours. It's not like a magic potion that causes all our problems to just disappear. It's not like a genie or anything superstitious or supernatural like that, where we can just wish it and it will happen. It's not something where we go, oh, I really desire a Mustang. Boom, there it is, kind of thing. I mean, everyone knows I want a Mustang. Yeah. But it's not like that at all. It's more like a blanket. It's more like a blanket of peace that comforts us. It's more like something like, you know, on a cold night, you sit in front of a nice cozy fire and you wrap a lovely blanket around you. It's like that. That's what God's peace is like in our situation, in our circumstances, in our suffering or in our trials. It covers us and it protects us regardless of what's going on around us. When we read that verse earlier, where is it? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says in there, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. It guards our hearts and minds. It guards our hearts and minds from fear. It guards our hearts and minds from compromise. It guards our hearts and minds from the things that God doesn't will and purpose for our life. But we have to step into it sometimes. I've just lost where I am. Sorry. So it comforts us, it warms us up, it's like a blanket. God promises to keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast and trusting in him. We have to trust in him. We can't look at the world's circumstances and go, oh, well, it's a COVID world now, there's no hope for anybody. Well, that's not trusting in him. That's trusting in the things that are happening in the world. It could be an exam, you know, like some people get really stressed out around exams. Well, I mean, my only advice for anybody taking any exam is go in there with the peace of God. Go in there, I mean, if you haven't studied and you're going into your exam and you're freaking out, well, you have, you, I'm sorry, are in the right place to be freaking out. Unless you're one of those people who just retains everything. But if you've done nothing to study, then you're kind of at the own consequences of your own actions, right? But if you've studied and you've studied well and you have it in you and you're going into that exam still freaking out, I just encourage you to ask God for peace. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you in that time, because we don't need to be fearful around things that, you know, are solid in our life. God promises to keep us in perfect peace if we are steadfast in our minds, if we are trusting in Him. And that's including while the world is going to chaos and crazy town, like, He still gives us peace, even though out there it's like crazy. People are so impatient now. I mean, I was driving 50 along the street and someone overtook me. It's a normal street with a 50k limit. Like, hello? It's okay. Clearly in a hurry. But, you know, like, even in those moments when people around us are hectic and chaotic and crazy and things are really intense and in your face, you know, we still have this amazing peace that surpasses all understanding that God has given us to cover us, to keep us safe, to actually guard our hearts. So today, let's you and I proclaim that peace. Oh, what did I just do? I don't know. My laptop's doing weird things. Can I have the next slide? I have no idea what the next slide is. Ah, yes. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, just as He was, in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up. I don't normally use that word, but it's there. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be still, quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey Him." And can we have the next picture? The world's peace is founded in compromise. It's a trade-off. Yes. I'll give you this if you give me that, and we'll be at peace together. They call that unity these days as well. The world is compromising every time they're asking for peace. I mean, if we go back to Micah 3 verse 5, they compromised. "We'll give you peace because we've got food, but when we don't have food, we won't give it to you. You can't have it." Everywhere in our world, there is compromise. Right now, in all sorts of areas, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our government system or our schooling systems, our health and education systems, there's all of this compromise for peace. But it's not God's peace. See, if you look at our education system, well, there's some crazy stuff that's allowed to happen in schools nowadays. Whose peace is that for? It's not for the peace that's in our spirit. See, God's peace is founded in the Word. And God's Word, and every single scripture that we've been through, is... that's where we're finding peace, is in His Word. We don't find it in an education system. We don't find it outside in a newspaper. I mean, we get information. It's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a lot of fake news today. But God's Word is where we find His peace. That's where it's founded. If it doesn't line up, or if it doesn't measure up with that standard, then I would walk away from it. And that's been for me, that's been my experience, that's been my solid foundation, is that I know and I can trust that when I stand on that foundation, it's not shaken, it's not moved, it's not falling over at the sides. There's no compromise to it, because it's not measured up by my moral standard or Joe Blogg's moral standard or the moral standard of the LGBT community or the even the pro-abortionists or the pro-lifers. There's all these different standards, and we might be one of those many things, but in all of those things there's still compromise. And unless we come back to God's word, which is his will and purpose and his plan for the world, then that's the only place we're going to find where God's peace is. Because we can't find it in all these other areas where there's compromise. Because God doesn't compromise. I mean, we might not, if we feel that the word of God, there's compromise in it, then we actually just don't understand the context. A lot of people have said, you know, non-believers may have said to you, oh, but the word, the Bible, it's just compromises. There's this here and this here and that there and that there, and that cancels out that. And it's like, no, you just don't understand the context of what that's talking about, because there's more to it than that. So the word of God is where we should find the foundation for our peace. My laptop's doing weird things. So what's the next one? So that's a quick wrap-up of what those areas that I've just talked about are. But I want to go back to that chapter 4, Mark verse 4. I want to read through this again. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was. So he didn't have anything special with him. He was just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In this time of uncertainty, in this time of chaotic craziness in the world, be like Jesus in the boat. That's it, really. Be like Jesus in the boat. He was so trusting and so discerning of what God's plan was that there was nothing to be afraid of in the midst of that storm. He was so trusting and so discerning of what God's plan was in the midst of that storm, that he did not need to fear. If Jesus can sleep in a boat during a whirlwind of, or a squall, as they called it in this version, there's a huge example for us in that. Is that he knew God's plan. Jesus knew God's plan. If you really want God's peace in your life right now, know his plan. Know the end of the story. Know the end of the narrative. Know where we're going. Know what is happening. Look at what the word says around what's going on right now. So if we know the end statement, then we have nothing to fear. We have no need to be unsettled. We do not need to be worried, because our peace comes from God. And if we know that his end plan is specific, and we know where everything's going and we know what the word says, then we don't have a need to fear. We don't have a need to be worried. See, Jesus knew that his life wasn't going to end on that day in the boat, because he knew that the work that the Father had sent him to do was not yet finished. And he trusted God. He trusted the Father that it didn't matter whether he was getting wet from the waves falling in or whatever, because that's what's going to happen to us. The waves are going to come into our boat. But if we know God's plan and purpose and we know what the end of the narrative looks like, then we should have God's peace operating in our life. We don't always know what that feels like. We don't always know what that sense is like. For me, it's always been something that I've slowly learned over the years. It's something that I've experienced myself. There's been many times, like the example that I used earlier about doing school chaplaincy. You know, I didn't get God's peace in that, but I did it anyway, thinking that it was the right thing to do when it wasn't God's plan or purpose for that season. It may have been for a different season. There's been other things that I've been asked to do or to lead. When it was time for me to step down as the facilitator for the youth network, I knew, because I had a peace in my spirit. I knew what God's plan was. I knew that it wasn't time for me to continue pushing in. It wasn't time for me to carry what was there any further. I knew that there was something else happening in the background. I didn't know it verbally. I didn't know it. It wasn't written. It wasn't something that I could hear from anybody, but I sensed it in the spirit. And so I trusted that. And so for us, you and I just want to encourage you to, if you don't know what God's peace is like in your life, if you haven't experienced that, I want to encourage you to just ask God, what is your peace that surpasses all understanding feel like? How do I sense that? How do I know the difference? Even if we don't know whether it's our own understanding or in God's word or in God's purpose or will for our life, we can still ask God, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us understanding. Show us your peace that surpasses all understanding. Show us what your word says about this. How should I step into this? In this time, in this season, that is something I have had to rely on more and more. I won't say yes to something that I don't get God's peace in my spirit about. I won't go somewhere where I don't get God's peace in my spirit about. It may be even just don't go to the shop today. If I don't get that Holy Spirit conviction in my life in that time, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It could be something small like that. You know, there's been many times when I felt the Holy Spirit convict me and say, don't go there today, Tanya. Don't go there. And then I found out a car accident happened about the same time that I would have been driving through that same area. Or it may be that there's a big decision you have to make. Do I buy a house? Do I buy a car? Do I go overseas? Do I pack up my house and move? You know, all of these things, they require us to know that we have that peace of God around that decision. And I want to make something very clear, and I know I'm a little bit over time. There's a difference between making a decision and having peace because you've made a decision. Sometimes because we're so much under pressure to make the decision, doesn't matter whether it's this way or that way, because we've simply made a decision, it gives us peace. That is not God's peace. That is peace of mind. That is the peace that we receive because we've just made a decision, because we need to make a decision. God's peace that surpasses all understanding is different. It's not based on our feeling. We can be under heavy pressure to make a decision this way or that way. But if we don't get that peace that surpasses all understanding in that moment, we could be making a decision, a yes-no thing, just simply based on peace of mind. And so I just want to encourage us again this morning, you know, ask God, if you don't have a peace about something, don't go there. And don't feel like the turmoil around you, yeah, it will be loud. You might get wet from the waves. But know that God's plan and purpose is far more rewarding than a simple yes or no right now. And I just want to encourage you with that this morning.